God's Word's good stuff. And I always enjoy getting into God's Word. I don't always enjoy the process of God's Word getting into me because sometimes it just messes with you and makes you change and do things differently as you want to follow the Lord. And so, but God's Word is good stuff. Question for you. Have any fears? Have any fears? Now, I know that for most of you, if I were to hand you this mic and say, hey, come up and give a talk up front, public speaking, that for many of you, you're like, ain't doing it. Ain't going up there. Or for others, maybe you're afraid of the dark. You're like, I'm not going in the dark. Or maybe it's spiders. Spiders, yeah. This morning, I was walking through the hallway, and Leah Beth looked up, and there was a spider up on the ceiling. She's like, can you get that for me? I'm like, yeah, I got this. Like, yeah. And I'm like, we have plaster ceilings. I know I can't smush it into the ceiling because there's no way you can clean it. So I go and get some so I can knock it off. I'm like, yeah, I got this. I hit it. Knocks off, drops to the carpet, disappears. Then also I'm like, ah, where'd it go? I'm like, is it on me? Where is it? Finally, I found it and squished it. It ended its life. But you're afraid of things. Leah Beth does not like snakes. And when we were newlyweds, somebody had hid a rubber snake in our apartment. So then she found it. So then she moved it somewhere where I would find it. And then we kept moving it around to kind of like get you to startle a little bit. And then I got her good. And that snake's life ended when I coiled up that little rubber snake and snuck it in the bottom of her underwear drawer. And it sat there for weeks till she discovered it. Yeah, didn't go good for me. Or maybe you're scared of how somebody, you have a fear of how somebody's going to react to you. They're going to respond to you, something they're going to do to you. When I was 16, I wrecked my dad's convertible truck. He was on a business trip. And so for that whole week, I'm like stressed. What's my dad going to do? What's my dad going to say? How's he going to react to me? I'm like fearful of that. And at the time, I worked at a Kmart. And on a Thursday night, my dad was coming back into town, and I'm thinking, I got this. I'm going to get through this shift. It's going to be great. Then I'm going to go home, and then whatever death is going to come to me is going to happen. And I thought, man, I'm dead. I just didn't know what my dad's response was going to be. But then I see him walking through the store towards me. And I'm like, can I hide behind a rack somewhere? Can I disappear and be gone from this situation? Because he's clearly going to destroy me. But in that moment, my dad taught me one of the best lessons he could on parenting. And he just walks up to me. He's like, Mark, are you okay? I mean, my response was, yeah. I'd hug you, but I'm at work. I got to look cool because I kill spiders. The fears, what scares me, or maybe what hinders me? Because sometimes we'll get these fears and we're thinking, what could happen? What might happen? Or maybe I have a fear of what's currently happening to me. Or then as a follower of Jesus, we can wonder, well, what might happen if I live out a fully devoted life for Jesus? What might people say? What might they do to me? How might they respond to me? I mean, because if I live like Jesus, if I share like Jesus, if I just be Jesus to the people around me, I might be ignored. I might be rejected. I might be ridiculed or rebuked. I might not be included in what they're doing. I might experience emotional harm. I might experience relational harm. I might experience financial harm or even physical harm. So this fear gets a hold of me. But I have to come to the point where I allow my faith to grow so that it overwhelms my fears instead of allowing my fear to overwhelm me and my faith. I have to have a faith that squashes my fears. I have to allow myself to grow in that. That sense of faith. God, I believe you. I believe what you say, and I'm going to walk in that. I'm going to step out in that. I believe you. Paul, writing to Timothy, said this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Jesus' own words in Luke 12:4, my friends, don't be afraid of people. They can kill you, but after that, there's nothing else they can do. God is the one you must fear. Not only can he take your life, but he can throw you into hell. God is certainly the one you should fear. Now, as people, we live in a culture that has this attitude of either comply with how we think, with what we're doing, with what we believe as a culture, or be canceled. In fact, last week I got a phone call from somebody here at the church, and they had a question about the gay movement and what our church believed about people that were gay and within that whole group of people, and so I began to answer her. And immediately, she blew up at me. And I was like, you didn't even give me a chance to finish my statement. And she's already attacking me. I was already canceled before I could even have a conversation with her, because I didn't exactly say the words that she expected me to say. That's difficult. Culture says conform, but God says to us, be transformed. Paul, writing to the Romans, Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God form you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I allow what God has done for me to transform me from the inside out. What he's done for me forms who I am. But we live in this place of being under pressure. So how do I respond to people when I'm questioned, possibly harshly, possibly being accused of things that are not even who we are, but we're accused of it before we even have a chance? How do I respond when I'm questioned about my faith? What do I do when I face hostility, when I face persecution? How do I respond when I'm being belittled, when I'm being ignored for my faith? How do I respond? Because sometimes we allow fear to hinder us, to hold us back. What if I'm rejected for what I share? What if I'm rejected for what I say? What if I'm rejected for what I do or don't do? What will people say? What will people think about me? How? We allow that fear to impact us. Early in the week, on Monday, I had a friend of mine ask me some questions about prayer. And we were working at the time, so I couldn't get into this deep, detailed thing. And at some point, he's just like, do you believe that God answers you when you pray? Do you believe God even pays attention to you when you pray? So I took a moment that we had at that time to share with him, and then I got home and I thought, you know what? I left a lot on the table that needed to be communicated with him with the questions as he was asking. So Tuesday morning, I got up extra early and I pulled together a whole bunch of stuff for him, got it all figured out for him. And I was like, I took it to him that morning at work. And as I'm taking it to him, I'm getting ready to put it at his desk for him to do all that. He wasn't there yet. And I thought, if I do this, what's he going to say? If I do this, what are the questions he's going to ask? If I do this and he doesn't agree with it, how's he going to respond? And for a second, I'm tempted, no, I'll just take that all back. And I was like, no, I'm putting it out there. I want to see what God does with this. But for a moment, there was that bit of fear. How's he going to respond? How's he going to react? And then he reacted positively to it. He's like, thank you for that. I don't get it all. I don't understand it all, because he doesn't have much, if any, depth to his life yet. But it was really cool how he responded. But my fears almost controlled me in that situation. But my response always needs to be, when people are coming after me, when they're questioning me, when they're coming at me, my response, because I'm a fully devoted follower of Jesus, if I'm attacked for my faith, if I'm accused of things, or if I'm just simply being questioned for what I believe, or maybe I'm just being silently ignored or quietly tolerated, regardless of how they're approaching me, I need to make sure, one, that I respond by maintaining the highest standards of Christian living. I follow Jesus, so I represent him. So how I live needs to model that. And then also, I seize every opportunity to share Christ. I mean, this week when my friend does that, He created an opportunity for me. He opened a door for me. So I'm like, I'm seizing that opportunity. I'm scared. I don't know how he's going to respond, but I'm seizing that opportunity to see what God will do. Because there's no reason for me to fear when God, because God is on my side. Or better yet, I'm on God's side. So getting to Peter's letter, here he's writing to individuals and they're facing suffering, they're facing difficulty for their beliefs in Jesus. They're facing a hard time because of their walks with the Lord, and so there's pressure coming upon them, there's persecution coming on them, there's false accusations being made against them. They're having life really difficult. So as Peter's writing to them in 1 Peter 3:13, "Now who will want to harm you if you're eager to do good?" If we're going to be honest, most likely, we're going to be ignored more than persecuted in our society. We're going to be thought irrelevant more than we are that people are going to attack us for our faith. However, there are those moments where we do face pressure and we do face suffering for following Jesus. But people tend not to attack you when you're doing good. However, even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Here's the reality. As followers of Jesus, we're light in the world. We're the light of the world, in fact. So we need to make sure we're doing good always. We're following the Christian way of life. For instance, I do good, not evil, or I seek peace, not mayhem, or I speak life, not death. I just show people who Jesus is by how I talk, by how I act, by how I respond. My dad, when he walked into that Kmart, he showed me genuine love, even though I destroyed his baby. It's how we respond to people, because you matter and we love them. We're showing a different quality of life. Because there are non-Christians that do good. They love. They make moral choices. But we still live in a way that shows people who Jesus is. We live like Christ in our world. Now, there are some that will refuse moral standards. They're going to take God's word and just be like, I could care less about that. They're going to care. They just want their standards, their way of life, what they believe is right for them, and they want to push that on everybody else, and so they attack. And it's not fun being attacked, is it? It's not fun when we face pressure. It's not fun when we're doing good, we're doing right, we're loving people, and we're being accused of things. We're being attacked because of our association with Jesus. It's hard. It's not pleasant. But the really neat thing is suffering is short term, and God blesses us through it. Jesus saying this in Matthew 5:10, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. It's not fun. We're facing difficulty. We're facing pressure. We're facing hardship. And yet God takes care of us through it. He blesses us through it. There's no need to fear. God is on our side. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So you're facing people and they're coming at you and they're accusing you of things. They're asking you harsh questions. Why do you believe that? Why do you follow that? Why do you have anything to do with Jesus? And they come at us hard. And then in the back of our breath, we can just be like, okay, Jesus, you're my very present help in trouble. Help me. Jesus, I worship you, even though this is hard. Jesus, I give you praise. You're my very present help in trouble. Peter continues his letter and he says in 3:15, instead, you must worship Christ Jesus as Lord. He's like, don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, worship Christ as Lord of your life. Have this inward attitude of obedience to him that influences, that determines my behavior. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, you're my Lord. Jesus, you're in control. You're directing things, and I want to honor you. I want to obey you. God, in everything I do and how I talk and how I live and how I act, I just want to honor you. I mean, one of the things that really stirred in my heart as a young man was just this attitude, God, I want to know who you are. I want to know you. I want to be near you. I want to experience you. I want to learn about you. I want to know your ways. I want to know your heart. May that be the attitude we have. God, I just want to know you. I just want to know you. I want to conversate with you. Where we're talking, we're interacting, where my worship is not from afar, but it's up close because I know who you are, and so I can worship you genuinely for who you are. God, I want to know you. Because if we're going to be real, we might as well go all in. Because suffering really reveals what's inside of us anyways. Because when the pressure's on, what's on the inside comes out. For my dad, in that moment at that Kmart, I knew inside my dad, he had love for his son. Because that's what came out. He loved me more than a Chevy Love white pickup truck with a roll bar and four-wheel drive and a neat little removable top, and it was so much fun to drive in. He loved me more than that. And he loved that truck. But I want to make sure I seize the opportunity that comes up. Peter continuing 3:15. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. At some point, somebody's going to ask questions. You live your life for Jesus. You do good to people. You show love when other people are not. When you're pleasant, when other people are rude. When you're generous, when other people are selfish. When you're just living your life out for Jesus. Or they just see how you act or don't act. They're like, hey, you talk different. You act different. You smile when other people frown. You speak positive words when other people curse. Just as they're observing your life, at some point, they're going to ask you questions. A lot of times, it's just spontaneous. You'll just, all of a sudden, they're like randomly like, what do you think about this? Or they'll just, questions just come up. Sometimes it can be, you're just talking about what you did during the week. And you're like, Sunday morning, I went to church. Wednesday night, I was at prayer meeting. You know, Monday night, I was at a Bible study. Tuesday morning, I was at a Bible study. You're just sharing some of the different things that you do with your life. You know, we were helping out with this opportunity that we had to serve. And people are like, why do you do that? Why do you go to church so much? Why do you do this? They just spontaneously start asking questions. Or maybe there's something going on in their lives. And then they ask you, how do you get through this? How do you do this? So I want to make sure I seize the opportunity that I'm ready to answer them. I need to be prepared with a coherent understanding of the faith. I really need to know what I believe so that I'm not just winging it. Because usually when I'm just winging it, I have a really hard time explaining things because I'm just trying to pull everything in my brain to try to do something. I need to have a coherent understanding. Why do I follow Jesus? What are the essentials of my faith? Why do I know that the Christian faith is true? Why do I believe what I believe? I don't need to worry or fear in those moments because I have the Holy Spirit right there to help me. The Holy Spirit directing me, bringing things to memory, but I do need to be prepared. I mean, think about this. I have to know something to share it. The Holy Spirit will bring it to memory, but it's difficult to talk about something I don't know. There's some things you can ask me that I have no answers for because I just don't know. And sometimes it's funny when my kids ask me because they think I should know the answer to that. I'm like, I don't know. I am not Google. I do not have the answers to everything, even though I want to act like I do as a dad. But I don't always. But it makes it really hard. People are asking us questions we don't know. I mean, think about this. Next time you go to the DMV and they want to do the eye exam, you don't know what line they're going to tell you to read off of that eye chart. You don't know. However, you do have to be prepared. You have to know what the letters are because it's going to be really awkward if they're like, read that third line. And you're like, well, there's a shape that's like this, and then like this, and then, you know, it's going to be awkward, so you're going to have to know what the letters are, but also you're going to have to be a little prepared, too. If you have eyes that are going bad, like mine slowly are now that I'm in my early 50s, if your eyes are starting to go bad, you're going to need eyeglasses. You're going to need to be prepared to take them, because if you go there and all you see is a blurry screen, you're not prepared. You're going to have a really time answering the questions, aren't you? We have to be prepared. We have to have something to respond to them with. So that's why it's so important. Take the time to study. We have more resources now to know the Christian faith than ever before in history. I have whole software on my computer that has hundreds of commentaries on it and everything else that I can use, and it goes with me everywhere my computer goes. Then we have Bibles, we have resources galore for us to study and know the faith, but also get involved with other people. Monday night Bible study, Tuesday morning Bible study, Wednesday night prayer meeting, other opportunities that we have just to grow in our faith, Sunday morning Sunday school, times to get together and learn and study, and also, man, devotions at home. Just taking the time to study God's word, to read it and put it into practice in our lives so we have something to share. But then as they're coming at us, because sometimes people ask you, why do you believe that? Why do you think that? Why do you act that way? And our tendency then in those moments when the pressure's on, we want to snap back. You hit me, I'm hitting you back. You push me, I'm pushing you. And we watched it yesterday. My daughter's playing soccer, and this team she was playing, they were roughhousing her team. So at some point, one of the girls on her team just starts, I'm roughing back. And so all of a sudden, you see one girl on her team, Allie Grace's team, push the elbow into the other girl. She's like, I'm not taking this. And then another girl on the team's like, I'm tired of getting hit too. So then she did a couple slide tackles. And so all of a sudden, it's like, you're getting this, you push me, I push you. Isn't that how we were going to respond to everything? You come after me, I come after you. Peter's like, no, don't respond that way. Respond with grace. Respond with love. Because ultimately, the accusers are going to be ashamed of how they come after you when they realize the significance of what you're sharing with them. Be gentle in response while being reverent toward God. Because how I respond communicates just as much as what I say. How I say it impacts them deeply too. But then the big question becomes, am I willing to allow God to position me in places where my faith might and will be questioned? Will I allow God to place me in relationships where people might go, hey, why do you believe what you believe? Some out of genuine interest, others out of harsh accusation and rejection of who you are. Will I allow God to position me in that place? Peter continues in 3:17. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. You ever thought about this? That your suffering doesn't catch God by surprise? It's not like all of a sudden God's sitting up in heaven and be like, ooh, how did that happen? Whoa, I like Marcia. Why is she suddenly being attacked for her faith? I like Jerry. Why is he suddenly why is life really difficult all of a sudden for him? Whoa, that's not, no, I didn't realize God's always in control. He's not caught by surprise. He's not suddenly, whoa, but he's aware of what's going on. He's aware of the details of our lives. I wish I was involved in the details in my kid's life as God is in mine. I mean, this week, one of my sons, he's finishing the eighth grade, and he's like sitting there, and we're around the table, and he's like, hey, Dad, who are my favorite teachers in each grade? And then it was like, I could get one. And he's like, who were my teachers? I'm like, I know you went to school. And if my wife were to say their names, I would know who they are. But for me just to pull that out, I was like, I'm kind of lost here. The great thing about God, he's not that way. But he's aware of the details that are going on in our lives. So trust him and stay the course. Because the temptation is always to blend in with the crowd around us so we don't stand out. Or it's to walk away from the faith altogether. Stay the course. God's in control. Stay the course. Don't give up. So I need to have this faith that squashes my fears. I need to know what I believe. Get it deep into my heart, into my mind that I know. But go beyond that, because we know lots of people that are very nominal Christians that know what they believe. They know the basics of the faith. So I need to push it a little bit more and know why I believe what I believe. I need to begin to make faith my own. It's not my grandma's faith. It's not my spouse's faith. It's not my friend's faith. It's my faith. I'm personalizing it. And the best way to begin to make that even deeper is know who I believe in. God, I want to know you. God, I want to be near you. God, I want to walk with you. And then live that faith outwardly, because there's no fear because God is near. That's what I love, you know, just in that moment, that story we're so familiar with Peter, and he sees Jesus walking across the water, and suddenly there's this sense of, Jesus, I want to be where you are, Jesus. I want to be near you. And now the easy part would be to be scared of the water, because it's like, hey, if I step off a boat to walk to where Jesus is, I'm in trouble. But Jesus, you're there, and I want to be where you are. And if you're able to do that, I know you can have me do that too. I want to be where you are. I'm not going to let faith or fear keep me in here, but I'm going to allow faith in the one I want to be near. Jesus, I want to know you. I want to walk with you. So he's like, boop, I'm out of the boat. I want to be where you are. And there's something that happens when I get to that point where I'm just like, God, I want to know you. And I'm allowing that faith to get deep into my heart and that relationship to grow deeply, because then it's like, God, I know you can do anything. So God, I want to walk in your will and your purpose and see what you can do. God, I'm trusting you. I'm not going to let fear hold me back, but I'm going to let my faith propel me forward. And let's see what God will do.